folks, ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yee-haw.
Word to your mother, and welcome to episode 101 of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I am your host with the most, is Chris Mitchum, the proud manager of Team Fairlife, here with the usual gang, Aaron Hunt, the manager of the Sunquad Squad.
What is going on, everybody? Hope everybody's doing well.
And of course, we welcome back everybody's favorite host, Tim Rader, the manager of Close But No Jamar.
Good to be back. How's everybody doing? Lovely listeners at home, in the car, on the road.
In your basement, in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. More important thing, Tim, is how are you doing with all of the moving parts with the new house?
Oh, you know, we just like to live life on the edge and be a little chaotic and spontaneous and buy new houses. So you never know. But things are going well, moving along, chugging along.
For the listeners, the house is beautiful. Saw some pictures of it.
Yes, the address is... I'm just kidding.
Just getting out, getting into the country a little bit. Just a little bit.
Up in the country. Nice. It is the evening of November 4th, a Tuesday. So coming to you a little earlier this week, Season 6, Episode 8. Coming to you with a packed show today. Of course, we have a Week 9 review, which also means it is the conclusion of the 2025 Qdoba Chipotle Classic. Interesting to see how that turned out. Then, of course, we have a trade ring. Yes, 2 weeks, two trade rings coming right at you. Love to see that. And then we have a fresh power rankings for you, and then we'll dive in to the Week 9 preview. I know what you're thinking. Chris, where the heck's the guarantee? You guys hit last week. So we sure did, baby. Coming at you. It is a Tuesday, so Lord knows this podcast cannot do spreads. So we decided not to do that. We will be sure to share a guarantee with you all as the week goes on. But unfortunately, just with the time we're recording this week, we probably can't do a guarantee on the pod. So that is the reasons why we will be skipping that. But before we get into all of that, drink of the week, fellas. Do I just save the time and just say you're both drinking water? Is that what's going down?
Oh, yeah.
Drinking
water. Stay hydrate in this old age.
You got something going?
I'm
going
to rename this podcast Chris's Drink of the Week. It is a Mr. Fluffle Stout, once again, debuting a West Wind Brewery on the episode this week. And that's right. You read that right. It is a 9%er. It's a 9% stout over here. It is delightful. Again, one of my favorite beers in Indy from my favorite brewery in Indiana, West Wind Brewery, up in Elkhart. They do no wrong.
I was about to say, I'm not familiar with that one.
It is way up there, but it's delightful if you ever get up there. So, Mr. Fluffle Stout, shout out to West Wind Brewery, fellas. The trade deadline in the NFL was today, earlier today. And ladies and gentlemen, we could talk about the offensive weapons that moved that actually could impact your fantasy teams. But holy jizz.
Go Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts were active today. Chris Ballard said, get on the phone. Carly Ursay Gordon told Chris Ballard to get on the phone and get a defensive piece for two first-round picks. And A.D. Mitchell, the Colts acquire cornerback Sauce Gardner,
go Colts.
Which is a sentence is still crazy to come out of my mouth as Colts that fans who never trade for anyone. So, Aaron, how do you feel about this just off the rip?
When I initially saw it, I was like, man, that seems like quite a bit. But then when I was thinking about it more, two firsts and A.D. Mitchell, he was already on our bad side anyway after the after the L.A. Rams game where he threw the ball before he scored
and had the
holding penalty that didn't result in the touchdown for JT. So they're going to both be late picks, and I think if you're in a window to win – You make these kind of moves. So I give Ballard a lot of credit. I didn't think he had it in him. I think somebody mentioned that in the group chat today. So I like it overall. We'll see. I mean, Sauce has to be all pro going forward for it to really work out for us.
Yeah, this is all new Ballard, man. Cam Bynum, Charvarius Ward over the offseason. Now you spend up again and go get Sauce Gardner, which is kind of crazy. I like this. I think I was like you, which I initial thought was maybe a little bit of an overpay. But listen, you have a 25-year-old corner who's been all pro, defensive rookie of the year, on a very team-friendly contract. Jets just extended him in this offseason. So I think for what you're going for, it's good, but not even talking about Sauce. I think why so many Colts fans are kind of weary about this is because we gave up 2 first-round picks, which means Chris Ballard is saying, you have your new franchise quarterback. And I think that's why everybody is so like, oh.
Scary.
Oh, we're really doing it. Okay. All right. We're going with Danny Dimes. Let's
Go Colts.
No doubts there. Tim, real quick, from an outside perspective, did the Colts get fleeced here?
I do not think so. I think you're going to see Lou Anarumo reach a new level as a defensive coordinator. The Colts defense has been very good this year because they've been up and teams haven't been able to run.
Right.
Adding a bona fide, like, albeit on, you could argue a down year, but how could you not have a down year playing on the Jets this year?
Oh, he's a top three corner, easy. Anybody who says he's not, I'm like, okay, go talk to a brick.
Yeah. So, you know, if anything, you just have to be giddy with the thought of your GM and your new owner, Miss Callie, is it?
Carly.
Carly Ursay. And they said, we think we can win a Super Bowl this year.
That's right, baby.
That's super. I mean, that's every fan base wishes to hear that or like infer that from the move. So, I mean, I got in on it. You know, I'm a Colts fan. I put in a bet today, +1,000 Woo! Colts to win the Super Bowl. So let's ride, baby.
I love it, man. I love it. It's exciting. And I tell you what, Carly Ursay Gordon looks hotter by the week, I'm telling you, on that sideline.
She's showing up my Katie Blackburn, making the Bengals look trash.
She is doing a great job. She looks great, too. Shout out to that. All right, let's talk about these trades real quick that actually may matter to fantasy football. We'll start with Jacoby Myers being shipped out to Jacksonville, Aaron. Jacoby Myers, he's had a pretty off year and what is a pretty off offense, unless your name is Brock Bowers. But we expected him to be pretty consistent coming into the year, and he's been pretty consistently poor. Will the new scenery in Florida help him out at all to be more of a viable fantasy piece?
I guess I just don't entirely understand the move from Jacksonville's standpoint. You have guys already there, Brian Thomas, you got Travis Hunter. I know he's on IR, so maybe it's more of a, hey, we are still trying to be competitive this year and plug and play Jacoby Myers because he's a veteran and he's been there and has production to back it up in previous years. But I don't know. I feel like it's an okay destination for him. He probably slots in immediately once Brian Thomas comes back as their wide receiver too. Don't love it for him. I guess I don't fully hate it either. I'm kind of just meh about it.
I think anything's an improvement from what you were coming from in Las Vegas.
Sure.
I think this is probably good for him. It's probably good for Trevor Lawrence. You get another, I would say, above average weapon. So do you think that's maybe Tim moves him into like a low-end wide receiver too? Or is he going to keep kind of middling in that you can't even consider him for your roster?
I think you could play him as a flex play. Most teams wouldn't be fine slotting him in there, but Trevor Lawrence doesn't get you that much more excited than Geno Smith, and that's saying something. I mean, this offense was about to turn the keys over to Travis Hunter. It was the week it was going to happen.
I know.
I'm so sad about that because you and I know that Brian Thomas Jr. is not a good wide receiver.
He sucks. So.
He's not great.
Nasty.
So he might be the two. I don't know. I would not have been shocked if they traded him today. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's safely in a flex play, but not a ton of upside.
There you go. And real quick, Rashid Shaheed to Seattle. something tells me this actually might kind of be good for JSN, being that they can't triple cover my king anymore. There's was like multiple times on Sunday Night Football where that was happening. They were triple teaming him because all you have to worry about is Torrey Horton and the old Cooper Kupp. But obviously Shaheed was doing nothing in that New Orleans offense, especially considering neither of their quarterbacks typically throw more than 15 yards down the field. So you get Sam Darnold and Rashid Shaheed. Can we see Shaheed reach maybe the heights he was reaching, you know, with the Derek Carrs of the world down in New Orleans? Tim, I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I haven't put much thought into that. My gut tells me I like it for JSN more than I like it for Shaheed. I mean, Shaheed's just been mopping up all the targets galore for the Saints, you know, the long bomb touchdowns, because they need to just air it out and try, and why not? He's going to an offense that's going to be more methodical. I guess if he maintains his you know, top off the defense, he's going to have his 1 to 2 chances a game for like a big 80-yard touchdown, but I don't know. I feel like it's good for the Seahawks offense in real life, but for fantasy, I don't know that it does anything to for me, for Shaheed.
I think that's a good way to look at it. I think it helps pretty much everybody on Seattle just because it makes their offense a little better, and it probably makes him a little more startable versus getting the ball thrown to by Tyler Shuck. So those were, I think, the major trades that may impact fantasy stuff. It was pretty quiet on that end, unless you're a defensive player. I mean, Quinnen Williams going to Dallas. Mm-hmm. We said Sauce going to Indy. Everybody's moving everywhere. It was a pretty fun day to be on NFL Twitter. So, guys, what do you say we get into week 9? Let's see how it turned out. Who's happy? Who's sad? Let's get into it. Nice. Week 9 sees the conclusion of the 2025 Qdoba Chipotle Classic, which has been that, folks, a classic. As a quick reminder, week 8, Qdoba ran house 4-1 in week 8, which entering week 9, it was the Qdoba division who was up 8-7 entering the final week of the classic. So let's run through these scores real quick and see how it turned out. First off, Tim, and close but no Jamar, drops his 4th straight game, going down to Anthony, Team Uninspired Youth, 146-101. Steven in Mount Passmore, down Aaron in the Sun God Squad, 135-114. Steven now on a 3-game winning streak. Clayton downs stretch, 144-111. As a reminder, this is off the back of one of the worst, if not the worst, week in this league history. Literally put up almost 100 more points for Clayton. So you got to love that. Both teams at 4-5 now. Hayden, it was ugly. It was gross, but he gets it done. 103-89 over Don and Jigbas in Paris, who probably would hope to put up more with the way he's been going. And then your boy, Team Fairlife, puts up 141 to take down an impressive, feisty Zach Brees Lightning team. 141-124, guys. Before we get into the Qdoba Chipotle Classic, I will say, unfortunately, we had 2 combatants with winner-go-home games that unfortunately fell to the wire, fell to the dreaded panic alarm of the winner-go-home games. So, Tim, we'll start with you. Cue the music. Aaron and the Sun God Squad fall to 2-7. He loses his winner go home game. Tim, what went wrong? What went wrong for Aaron?
Just guys not showing up. Some inconsistency that we've seen on the year. But, you know, if you want one guy to point the finger, I'll give you, actually, we'll go 2 guys to point the finger. One's going to be Roma Dunze, who's looked great at times this year. And then one media darling, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt.
Oh, man.
Not allowed to be called Bill anymore. He's not cool enough. He's not good enough. Single-digit points in 4 straight weeks, 5 of his last 6. six of his last eight. I mean, he's just not what you hoped for. Been plugging him in that lineup. But between Rome putting up a goose, big old zero, shut down by DJ Turner, and Ja'Cory putting up 5 points, you're behind the eight ball. And, you know, Amon-Ra doing 9 for 97, no tutties. You know, Colston Loveland did his best. Shout out Aaron for the Colston Loveland.
Believe.
Two tutties, including the game winner at the end. But just a ho-hum week. 114's okay, but left a lot of meat on the bone, especially if you look at Caleb Williams putting up 45 on the bench. Like that came out of nowhere, it feels like. But Steven, I think we'll talk about Steven a decent bit today. T. Higgins had his game against Chicago just going off. And unfortunately, Aaron just caught Steven on a bad week and Steven went off. So 2-7. In the preseason, I would not have put you here, Aaron. I would have put you more middle of the pack with me and some of the other teams. So just some guys not showing up.
Yeah, and I think you see the glaring Cam Scadaboo or Marion Hampton on his bench. That's for a team that was already struggling with running back depth coming into the season. So that doesn't help. But then to Tim's point, I think the inconsistencies you saw from Ladd McConkey, from Roma Dunze, from A.J. Brown when he was on the team, kind of formulate into like poor matchups. And also, I'll be the one to admit it, as the team with the number one of this. But Aaron has the second highest points against in the league. So whenever you have those inconsistencies mixed with guys going off on you, it's probably a recipe for a little winner go home defeat in week 9. Aaron, quick thoughts. Are we officially punting to next year? I think you are, but
yeah, it's been so frustrating, man. It's probably the most frustrated I've been in this league history just because the points against have been unbelievable. People just tee off on me every week. T. Higgins has his best performance of the year. Chris Olave has his best performance of the year. I mean, every single time, it's just nuts. Zach puts up 160 against me. It's just tough. And I have my points for a sixth. So, I mean, in theory, that's a playoff team. I'm going to be probably thinking in the offseason about bringing up team median again because of this season. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of
points against. I am against team median still.
Yeah.
Because you know how much I can just fuss and whine about this and you guys can't do anything about it?
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
Yeah, it's been a tough year. I am looking to next year, though.
All right, and of course, he gets his own song as well. Zach and Brees Lighting was the other team to fall to their win or go home loss. Aaron, you look at Brees Lighting. He was feisty. He was scrappy. But unfortunately, his season has come to an end based on this league podcast standards. What went wrong?
Man, Brees Lightning, I feel like it's a story of just new pieces and relatively new pieces not showing out in the way that they needed to from the start. When you look at Travion Henderson and Tetero McMillan, both of those guys were first round picks for Zach. You were really hoping that they would just get off the ground running and be just absolute studs in the lineup for him. And, you know, I think Tet's been doing okay.
He's working with,
He's the wide receiver 20 on the year. So, like, not great, but you really were hoping he could be a wide receiver 1 for Zach's team. And then you've got Travion Henderson, who just really some weeks hasn't even been playable. I mean, that's been so disappointing to see. And then Marvin Harrison, I mean, he's been coming on as of late because Jacoby Brissett might be a better quarterback than Kyler Murray.
I think he is
at this stage.
Yeah.
Had his highest points of the year to date against Dallas on Monday Night Football. So he's been underperforming as well. And then Breece Hall for stretches has been inconsistent. David Njoku has been hurt. Keon Coleman hasn't turned in anything really. Jaden Daniels now out for the season. Injuries mixed with inconsistencies. And then honestly, the glaring thing is Rashee Rice being out 6 weeks. I think if Rashee Rice was in the lineup starting week one, you'd be probably looking at a 4-5 Zach team. I think he's worth at least 2 wins because of how important he is to the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, and you consider, I mean, he's actually been pretty lucky when it comes to injuries. He hasn't really had any major injuries. You could consider Rashee Rice, I guess, an injury if you wanted to count that, to your point. He was missing him. He probably could have turned a couple L's into dubs. But the good thing is, Zach, similar to Aaron, I think coming into this season, did not have a lot of high expectations. He's a young squad. Some of his best pieces are rookies or year two guys. So I think, you know, you always want to perform a little better at 2-7 when you enter week 9, but it's certainly not the end of the world for Zach. He is definitely focusing on future seasons. Let's all pray for Jaden Daniels' elbow, because that was nasty.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was gross.
Really bad.
While
really,
your starting
really
quarterback
bad.
Is in the game down 34 in the fourth quarter. I don't know. But it is what it is. So Aaron and Zach going home. This podcast has never been wrong. Of course, when we say we go home, it means no shot at the playoffs. So thanks for coming out. Start prepping for next year. Start prepping for the new playoff format we have for losing teams to decide draft order. So remind yourself on that. Go back and read the Constitution if you have to. Let's take away, do our quickly, our biggest takeaways from week 9. I'll start here, man. And this freaking playoff race, dude, for the first time, I feel like we have like 5 teams competing for 3 playoff spots. And I think all would be disappointed, maybe besides Don, if they didn't make it. Don, I think, is just playing with house money right now. But I think he well expects himself to make the playoffs right now. Just for a reference, I win this week, and that immediately shoots me up 2 spots. I was out of the playoffs last week. Now I'm considered the 5th seed, and there are 4 teams at 4-5. And then you see Don at 5-4, and a lot of people would maybe consider him to be the weakest even amongst the 4-5 teams. So, you know, when you're Clayton, Tim, Stretch, myself, I'm putting Steven and Anthony kind of in their own tier right now. They have a pretty decent lead over the other playoff teams. But
yeah,
all of those teams, I think, would expect to make the playoffs. And as of right now, including Don, 2 of those guys are going to miss out. And I think they will be very disappointed if that happens. So this is maybe the tightest playoff race we've had in a number of years. You have some guys that had the playoff aspirations that might not make it. So every team, every game going forward, I think, is really, really important when it comes to just trying to make the playoffs, man. It's a scrappy year. It's a scrappy year. Aaron, we'll throw it over to you. Your biggest takeaway from week 9.
Yeah, my biggest one is a new contender for the ship has entered the chat. And I think his name is Mount Passmore and Steven.
All right.
This man has been on a heater for the last month. He's won 4 of his last 5. And now he has a new toy that he couldn't even deploy this week because he was on bye, which is A.J. Brown. And I think that A.J. Brown could have a pretty good stretch coming down the end of the season here. I mean, you got T. Higgins that just went off for 33 points. George Kittle's not even really cooking at this point. Ashton Gentry's getting going a little bit more. You know, Chase Brown, he's actually came to life in recent weeks. And you still got Justin Herbert
and
doing
Joe
pretty
Flacco
well, too.
Trust.
I mean, think about this. In a week where Jonathan Taylor scores 7 points and DK Metcalf scores 2, Mount Passmore scored 135. I mean,
it's pretty good, Chief.
That's pretty good. And so you got to think that A.J. Brown's going to probably do better in the flex than a Khalil Shakir or even a Jordan Addison, even though, you know, Addison has been doing decently well since he's came back from his suspension. So that's my takeaway, man. I think Steven, he belongs in the discussion in that tier with Anthony and right below Hayden.
I don't hate it. And the good thing about the Qdoba Chipotle Classic ending this week is he gets to tee off on the Qdoba division again for the next 4 weeks. So have fun with that one, Steven. Must be nice. Tim, throw it over to you. Your big takeaway from week 9 before we move on to the trade ring.
It's beating a dead horse. Yeah, I think it's been weeks on end that we've been saying it, but while we might have contenders for the chip, there is still a clear-cut favorite in Tua Infinity and Bijan.
Even after putting up 103 last week. Ugh.
Even after pooping the bed.
Got lucky.
Last week. You win who you win is what we say in this league.
See how fast I was on that?
That was good.
Thank you.
He's averaging the most points scored on the year. The guys just are, you know, like just when you go up and down his lineup, it's insane. Like even with Puka going out, like I don't know if that might just free up things in the long run. So I'll give Hayden his flowers. My biggest takeaway is, yeah, we're closing in the playoff run. There's a lot of guys in the playoff hunt. The top three maybe have emerged, but they're still a clear cut favorite.
Yep. All right. I think I have to agree with that. Before we get out of week 9, you're probably wondering, Chris, Qdoba Chipotle Classic, what happened? Well, if you were following along at home, week 9 went the way of Chipotle. 4 wins for Chipotle, 1 win for Qdoba. Shout out Steven, repping that crappy division. So the final score of your 2025 Qdoba Chipotle Classic is Chipotle 11, Qdoba 9. Give it up.
Boo.
Give it up for Chipotle. The superior division, the superior quick service Mexican restaurant, makes it 3 straight wins in the Qdoba Chipotle Classic. So just continue to dominate, continue to represent. Chipotle division is where it's at. And our biggest reward for that is going back to divisional matchups where we all get to face each other. So that's great.
All right, guys.
Second week with a trade ring. You guys ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
The This League Trade Ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're unfamiliar with how the trade ring operates, 2 teams enter, 1 trade occurs. Myself, Tim, and Aaron count down to 3, and we all reveal who we think wins the trade. The person to win a majority of that wins the match. This match. This week is between Stretch and Walker, I hardly know her, taking on Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan, 2 teams that are trying to win now, 2 teams that are competing. So obviously, you have to keep that in mind when you take into account this trade. It is as follows. Stretch receives Hayden's 2026 second round pick, while Hayden receives running back David Montgomery from the Detroit Lions. Again, so Stretch gets a 2026 second. Hayden receives David Montgomery. Not the most sexy trade in the world, but I do think it could have some ramifications. Aaron and Tim, are you gentlemen ready?
Well, Tim has to go take care of Sebastian, but he did put his vote in a text to us.
Oh, okay. Well, we like that. All right. Well, Aaron, are you ready, sir?
Let's do it.
All right. Count us down, and we will say our winners.
3, 2, 1.
Hayden. And Tim also says Hayden. Clean sweep. For Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan. Aaron, we all gave Hayden the bump here, the edge. Why do you think that is?
This was such a savvy move by Hayden. You're 8-1. You essentially at this point are a lock to make the playoffs based off how the rest of the league is just beating up on each other. And you get a guy in David Montgomery who, yeah, he's not the name of old. He's not going to light the world on fire, but he's going to be RB2, fringe RB3. He's going to be playable if you have injuries. And I think that's really valuable heading down the stretch when there's going to inevitably be other injuries that take place. And also, you're getting a compressed value of David Montgomery. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where he was going for firsts. Mm-hmm. And so now you get a 26th second. And your 26th second, if you're Hayden, is going to be late anyway. So plus with this 26th class not projecting to be very good on the offensive side of the ball, it makes perfect sense for Hayden.
Nice. Yeah, I think how late that 26th second is going to be is where I lean Hayden as well. And to your point, I think you explained it perfectly when you said savvy, because Hayden doesn't necessarily need a running back. Like, that was the first thing I thought of whenever I saw this trade come through. I mean, you got Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kamani Vidal, RJ Harvey, Travis Etienne. I'm like, okay, you have plenty of running backs, so you just add another one to it. But you know, one of my favorite sayings in all fantasy football.
Yep. RB depth is stupid until it's not.
Baby, until it's not. And I think this, like you said, a late second to get David Montgomery, who is the perfect break glass. Hey, I got buys. Hey, I got two of my running backs are out this week. Like, you see David Montgomery in a lineup, and it doesn't scare you, but it's also like, he could score three touchdowns. So I think that's a really good move. He's 28. You know, he's part of a really consistent, good offense. I don't think they're going to be going away from him and Jahmyr Gibbs anytime soon. So I think he's safe in that aspect as well. And then just for kind of craps and giggles, from Stretch's standpoint, I kind of went back and looked at previous draft results of like, okay, what is, you know, like a late second? Last year, for example, a late second could get you Jack Besh, Cam Ward, Jaden Blue. The year before that, you're looking at Marshawn Lloyd, Troy Franklin, Jalen Wright. The year before that, you're looking at Michael Mayer, Kendre Miller, Sam Laporta, which is good. But I mean, that's one of nine, maybe, that you could say has hit so far. So I think the odds of that 26 second hitting are rather low. And then you get a solid running back who's established like David Montgomery in return. That's why I give it to Hayden. So I'm sure Tim would echo similar things. He's still, I think, on daddy duty, but for the sake of time and for efficiency,
would you move to the next trade?
Oh my God. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. You're so annoying. What do we got? What in the world? Breaking news, folks. Breaking news. We have another entrance into the trade ring. It is Aaron. He's back. Stretch is back as well. I'll go ahead and say the details, and we'll wait for Tim to return. But the details are as follows. Aaron receives a 27 first.
Yes, sir.
And Stretch receives Jalen Warren and a 2027 second. That is Aaron's, which will probably be late because Aaron's going to have everybody and they mama's receivers next year. So I'll wait for Tim to come back and get his thoughts, and we'll go from there. Be right back. All right, well, you heard the trade details. Aaron was a part of this trade, so he will count us down, and Tim and I will announce our winners. Are you ready, Tim?
Let's do it.
Aaron, count us down.
3, 2, 1.
Aaron. That is two straight L's for Stretch, which only means one thing. He's going to win the nut.
Probably.
Tim, were you as confident that Aaron wins this one as I am?
Yes. Jalen Warren is a fine player, a player I would love on my team. I struggle to see where he slots in on Stretch's team. If it's a depth piece and he's trying to be proactive, okay. But I don't think he improves his team marginally.
Well, I actually think this trade comes down to pretty easy. Would you, on your dynasty roster, probably for a depth piece, rather have David Montgomery or Jalen Warren?
David Montgomery.
Aaron? I think I'd lean David Montgomery as well.
Okay.
Jalen Warren is a very solid RB2.
Mm-hmm.
David Montgomery as a depth piece, should Jahmyr Gibbs lose time or go down to any, David Montgomery is a top five running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has that potential for sure. I think just with the consistency, I was leaning Jalen Warren, just at least to this point. But yeah, to your point, if there was anything that were to happen to Jahmyr Gibbs, of course, David Montgomery.
Yeah, and I mean, from Stretch's perspective, yeah, Jalen Warren's fine. He may start for you if you ever have, like, you know, the Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet debacle you had last week. And I will shout out Stretch here. He currently has 8 2026 picks. So, you know, to each his own, I guess. He's going to reload then. But, yeah, I just think the 27 first, we all know it. It's 2023 all over again whenever we were all gushing over that draft class. I think 27 is going to be the next one. You have so many talented guys coming out. So I think parting with a 27 first should probably be a little harder than what it usually is. Aaron, real quick before we get into power rankings, how hard was this trade to pull off?
Well, I got approached about Jalen Warren from Stretch. He was in the market for a running back and was telling him that I really needed something that was a premium to, you know, move off of Jalen Warren. He's the only healthy running back on my roster right now and didn't see a need to move him right now unless that was the case. And so we went back and forth and he had a value in his mind of what Jalen Warren was. And so did I. And then I just threw out, you know, hey, I know you don't view him as a first straight up. So what if I offered a second on top and got that 27 first? And he agreed to that and we just went forward. So it really wasn't too bad.
Well, there you have it, folks. Don't give up on your dreams. You too can get a 27 first for a backup running back and a second. So don't give up on your dreams, kids. Anything is possible. And that was your trade ring for this week. Stretch taking two L's, which again, last time, anytime we do this, Stretch just turns around and wins. So I'm sure there's probably something we're missing here. But Hayden, enjoy David Montgomery. Stretch, enjoy Jalen Warren. Aaron, you dumb person. Enjoy your 27 first, you.
I will, man. It is fun being bad. And, you know, who cares if I win or lose? It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the freshest, the most delicious, latest power rankings.
Power rankings.
Tim, it's been a minute since I've heard your beautiful voice.
Oh, it has.
Rock us through a power rankings. Let's do this.
Week 10. Man, we are quickly approaching the playoffs. There's a lot of players, a lot of teams in the thick of it. We will start, per usual, at the bottom, where maybe just solidifying himself is Aaron and the Sun God Squad.
Woohoo! Yeah.
It was tight at the bottom for the bottom two, but he takes the cake, and I like it. Leans in. Like I just texted you, a little bit of freedom in that, you know? Moving on.
Nasty.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
My best healthy running back now is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Woohoo! Go, Ja'Cory. At number nine, we have the other win or lost and now is going home, Breece Lightning.
Yep.
Is that,
yep.
You know, is it too little, too late? Unfortunately, Rashee Rice goes on by. Poor timing for him. At number eight, I mean, here's where we're in it, right? Eight through four.
Here we go. Here we go.
There are no ties. At number eight, we've got the Red Rocket.
Ooh, all right.
Injury bitten, underperforming BTJ, Brock Bowers injury coming back. So, you know, has all the upside. I still think has some upside if he gets a couple players healthy. We'll see what the rest of the season holds for him. Number seven. A far, far cry from when we penciled him in at number 10 for the whole year. Don.
Here we go.
Was in Paris.
5-4, Don, to you.
Just lost Tucker Kraft for the season, Don, to you.
Tyler Shuck throwing to Chris.
Come get
Olave,
Kyle Pitts, baby. Come get him. Come get him.
Yeah, we'll see. Don's like the true wild card, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens there. Coming in at number seven. Number six, it's me, close to no Jamar. My season's up in the air, man.
It's me. Hello.
4-1, 4-5, likely 4-6 after this week. Ooh. Like the tides are turning, and I'm just trying to weather the storm to see if I even have a chance to squeak into the playoffs, where anything can happen.
True, true.
Number five, the man of the hour making the moves, Walker. Hardly number. Stretch.
Jaylen Warren, we trust, baby.
Plus Jaylen Warren, minus David Montgomery. We'll see. Number four, beating him out by 1 point, team Fairlife.
Woo, woo, woo.
Third highest points for just the unluckiest team out there right now.
It's bad, Chief.
Currently slated to make the playoffs, so the guys still believe. Maybe a little good luck bounces back his way, you know, with all the studs up and down the lineup. Now we're in our top three.
Wow.
Mount Passmore.
Wow. You know what? Give it up to Steve.
You know, I think I'm looking back. We had him at 6 in the preseason power rankings. So, you know, middle of the pack. Climbing up to 3 is pretty solid, you know. Like, Aaron's got him in the ship running. So, congrats to Mount Passmore. Been a little bit of a retool, not a rebuild. And the top two dogs, pretty consistently, week over week, we got number two team, Uninspired Youth, getting healthy, getting Lamar back.
Getting Rico Dowdle. Oh, my.
He just keeps him on his bench. He doesn't even play the man.
I think he played him
last week. I'll take him. And, of course, number one, Tua Infinity and Bijan Hayden takes the cake. Looking to just stick solid, the number one spot for a few weeks running in a row now. So,
only way is down, Mr. Hayden.
Any surprises from you guys? You know, I'll open the floor.
Was the Red Rocket below or above in Jigbiz and Bears?
Below.
See, I had him above
by 1 point.
I know I'm usually the guy that's always like, you know, like you are your record. It's kind of my thing. But looking at these two guys, I think Chris Olave is donezo with Tyler Shuck. Tucker Kraft's on IR.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins and Tony Pollard have both been trending downward. I just don't like the trajectory of his team right now. I think I had Don. I don't know if I had him 9 or 8.
Chris, you and I both had the Red Rocket 7 and Don 8. I'll tell you what does it, though, is one Aaron Hunt over there putting the Red Rocket 10th.
Damn. Jeez.
Bringing down that aggregate score.
Even with Brock Powers back? Goodness gracious.
He's not going to do 43 every week. And he still 30. Doesn't have running backs at all.
True. Quinshon Judkins comes back this week, but true. True.
Maybe. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might still be out another week at least.
I don't know. But yeah, I think that's mine. I think I'm lower on Don, definitely than Aaron. But I think I'm not a fan of where his team's going.
Yeah.
I think Chris is a little high for my liking. I probably would have had him at 5 instead of 4. Just because I'm a little worried about some of the injuries that he's had to receiver. I think that could maybe come back to get him.
I have me at 5. You have me at 4, Aaron. Thanks.
Maybe at 4-2.
Oh, well, I guess our consensus rankings had him at 4, and yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it back, I probably put you at 5 instead of 4.
Yeah. Any big takeaways for you, Tim?
You know, not necessarily. I think... we've kind of already hit on everything this week. I'm sad for Zach. You know, Breece Lightning, I think, was a dark horse. I think, you know, a lot of guys were liking him a little bit. And just one of those seasons where it just hasn't come together, you know, maybe a little too late, like I said earlier. Just kind of pouring out for him, you know. But outside of that, not a ton of surprises.
Did you know Clayton has the lowest points for on the year? He just cracked 1,000 this past week.
What a bum.
Yikes. I thought he was like maybe getting scored on a lot, but he's pretty mid in that category too. Huh. Zach, hey, you're higher than Clayton, you know? All right. Well, that was your power rankings. Tim, real quick, run through them again before we go to week 10.
Number 10, Sun God Squad. Number 9, Breeze Lightning. Number 8 is the Red Rocket, maybe controversially, with number 7, Njigba's in Paris coming in above him. Mm. Number 6, Close But No Jamar. Number 5, Walker, hardly know her. Number 4, Team Fairlife. Number 3, Mount Passmore. Number 2, Team Uninspired Youth. And number 1, Tua Infinity and Bijan.
Congrats to Hayden once again at the top of the mountain. Who can dethrone him? Will anybody else dethrone him? Is the nut his? We will only find out as the league progresses. Let's get in to the week 10 preview. Maybe. Now, you know, I cannot continue this podcast without just briefly mentioning that last week, oh baby, did we hit it. Tim, Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown, bang. Chris, Colts versus Steelers, over 45.5 from a last desperation field goal from the Colts with like 30 seconds left, bang. And then Colston Loveland, anytime touchdown score from Aaron, why not two of them? Why not two of them?
They laughed at me. They said I was a fool.
They did.
Look at him now.
There you did. There you go. So like I said, we will be sure to get that listening guarantee to you later this week when we get some better lines. We welcome back from byes this week the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets, which who plays for that team anymore? The Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we say goodbye to the Cincinnati Bengals, the Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tennessee Titans, also known as Tim's roster. We say goodbye to this week.
Pain, nothing but pain, I feel.
Yes.
4-6.
The Qdoba Chipotle Classic is over, so we are back to divisional matchups, mostly across the board. It's going to be an interesting week here. It's going to be an interesting week, and we will start with a clash in the Chipotle division. It is Aaron and the Sun God Squad coming into this one at 2-7, already home and dusted. But he's taking on a Clayton squad that needs a win, coming into this one at 4-5. Sleeper giving, at time of this writing, Clayton a 68% chance of victory. And the lineups are set, so that number might be fairly accurate.
We've got the team who's going home, Sun God Squad, waving the white flag, giving a Vikings funeral. Rocking the usual, currently with Dylan Sampson. You know, we just talked about maybe Quinshon Judkins' injury limiting him or potentially taking him out for another week. We'll see what happens there. Ja'Cory is in there against Detroit. Detroit's run defense is very stout, so I don't see Ja'Cory doing much of anything.
Nasty.
You love Amon-Ra. Yes. That's about it on the lineup. Let's give a little love here to Mika Igbuka,
the
darling of the first 4 weeks of the season, or 5 weeks, sorry, and then just hadn't done anything since. Got hurt. The Bucs offense just hasn't looked the same without Bucky. Mike Evans, you know, missing most of the year. Chris Godwin not being able to come back fully healthy. And Buka just hasn't been able to shoulder the load all by himself. So long term, we still like him there, but this year he's kind of soured just a little bit. Rocking Colston Loveland. Aaron, how do you feel about your tight ends?
Right now it's just a roulette. I just kind of spin the wheel and whatever feels good.
like you're chasing a little Loveland there. Cause I would feel like it's hard to bench Harold Fannin in this situation.
Yeah.
Jets just traded their entire defense. I get that the Giants defense isn't like anything crazy, but I think Harold Fannin's rock solid for some targets and against the poor defense.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, but like, it just doesn't matter because I'm going to lose.
So. Yeah, yeah, we don't have to spend a whole lot more time here. Rome Odunze and Ladd McConkey, two underwhelming in the last couple weeks. Ladd's been very all over the place on the year. You know, very slow start, a couple of nice pop games, and then coming back down to earth a little bit last week. Chris, do you know what Ladd McConkey is on the year?
I'm going to guess wide receiver 29.
Wide receiver 16.
Wow. All right. I was way off.
My number was going to be 28.
Okay.
So, yeah, a couple of pop games doing the heavy lifting there, as well as some other guys, you know, just injured or suspensions and everything holding the wide receivers back. He's in there, but I don't know. He's just not moving the needle very much. Outside of the tight ends, like I said, there's not really a lot of lineup decisions to go on here. So,
yep.
That'll do it for the Sun God squad.
And for Clayton, I title his team as "We're Freaking Back, Baby." Assuming everybody plays, I think you have the strongest possible Red Rocket lineup in this week. You're always thinking, what the heck does running backs look like? Well, we're forgetting Bashaul Tootin and Tyler Algier this week because we are hoping and praying for the return of Bucky Irving in week 10. In week 10. Coming back from that injury, and then, of course, Quinshon Judkins, who potentially could play in Week 10 as well. So you're crossing your fingers on them. Same with Brian Thomas in your flex spot, who is questionable. You got to think them bringing in Jacoby Myers maybe isn't the best sign for his availability this week. But you got those guys, and, of course, Nico Collins, Drake London, and the beautiful, wonderful
Whopper, 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 Whopper
double-decker tight end stacker with Trey McBride and Brock Bowers. Both of them seemingly coming back into the form that we saw propel Clayton to the heights of, you know, probably the end of last season when his team was doing really well. Brock Bowers coming off of a monster 43-point performance. And then with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, Trey McBride has worked himself into the tight end one overall in football. So this is the best you get from the Red Rocket, and it looks really, really good. Sleeper agrees, 130 projected points right now. The only bad thing is for Clayton, if any of these guys can't go, I mean, we got to turn to that bench. And again, you're looking at the Bashaul Tootins, the Tyler Algiers, the Jalen Noels. Like, it gets really ugly really quickly. So you got to think maybe if Bucky and Brian Thomas don't play, that could swing things drastically. Assuming health, you know, all the projections are in, I'm going to go Clayton here. But, man, things could turn if one of those guys end up not playing. But I'm going to go Clayton.
Taking Clayton as well.
I am also going to take Clayton.
All right. Well, that's a clean sweep for Clayton. Again, assuming all of those guys play, we fully expect him to move to 5-5 and Aaron to fall to 2-8, trying to get in position for that winner take the number one overall position game, I'm sure is Aaron's priority right now. Let's move on to the next matchup. It is Zach and Breece Lightning, the other person that has already gone home for the season, coming into this one at 2-7, taking on everybody's favorite, all the new hotness. Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 6-3. As of right now, Sleeper giving Steven an 83% chance of victory, but that is without Zach setting his lineup as of now. Zach dealing with Javonte Williams, Rashee Rice on bye, so we're hoping that he replaces, though. You're probably going to see Breece Hall coming back into the lineup. You're probably maybe going to see a Josh Downs, Troy Franklin, perhaps, come into the lineup for Zach.
Yes, and for Zach, he's going to have the usual suspects coming out to play for his team in week number 10. You've got a couple of lineup decisions that he still needs to make, it looks like. Of course, with Javonte Williams and Rashee Rice both on bye, he's going to have to pivot to other options there. But you've got some stalwarts that are in the lineup there. Tet McMillan in a plus matchup against the Saints. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr., who is coming off his best game of the season, going up against the Seattle Seahawks. That could be a shootout game if things bounce the right way there. And then Travion Henderson. He might have another audition this week if Ramondre can't go. as the lead back. We'll see if he can maybe get some juice flowing there. Question for the gang here. If you're Zach, who are you going to plug in since, you know, we kind of get to play that game?
I'm probably rolling Troy Franklin, man. The last 3 weeks, 10 targets, 8 targets, 10 targets. It seems he's kind of separating himself as that wide receiver too in Denver.
What about you, Tim?
I think Troy Franklin as well. Torrey Horton's the fun name to chase. You know, the pickup that has gone off. He seems like he might be a touchdown guy. But you kind of want to see what happens with the aforementioned Rashid Shaheed edition. That's a little bit of a tongue twister there.
The Rashid Shaheed edition.
Yeah, for sure. And with, of course, Breece Hall, he's going to plug right in there. So, yeah, I think I would also go Troy Franklin. So, Zach, hopefully you get that lineup changed sooner rather than later with that Thursday night kickoff if you do go the Troy Franklin route. But overall, a lot of the same people that we would come to think he would start week to week on Zach's side.
And we go over to Steven here, and you like the look of the team, especially compared to the roster that he's playing against. I won't say he's fully Clayton, as in this is like his squad at its ultimate final evolution. He is dealing with Chase Brown on bye, T. Higgins on bye, who are both definitely starters with the new and improved Joe Flacco Cincinnati Bengals. But we're still rocking Jonathan Taylor, who's hoping to bounce back from definitely his worst performance of the year last year. But ho-hum, he's still the number two football player in all of fantasy. We see the debut of A.J. Brown on Monday Night Football at Green Bay. Steven is really banking on him having a second-half rebound here. And then, of course, Ashton Jeanty, DK Metcalf, Khalil Shakur, and Jordan Addison rounding out his roster with Justin Herbert and George Kittle at those onesie spots. When you look at the bench, no real lineup decisions to be made there, I don't think. You know, you could maybe go with Jacoby Myers in his debut game, but that sounds risky. And then those three quarterbacks, you know, the Daniel Jones, the Sam Darnolds, you're probably going to want to rock Justin Herbert against what is a pretty bad Pittsburgh defense, unless you're the Indianapolis Colts. So,
goodness.
don't know what happened there. But with all that being said, I am going to be taking Steven here. I'd actually do sneakily like the Jordan Addison play. I could see him having a pretty good week against a Baltimore defense that you can beat. And with that being said, I'm taking Steven. Tim, who you got?
We've got Steven here pretty handedly.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Steven. I think he's got just too much to overcome.
All right, that is a clean sweep for Steven and Mount Passmore. He is hopefully looking at 7-3 in the eyeballs. Let's move on to the next matchup. It is your boy, Chris, and Team Fairlife coming into this one at 4-5, taking on the top dog, the king, the top of the hill since basically week one. It is Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan coming to this one at 8-1. As a refresher, these two squads played in week one, where Hayden came out on top 154-140 in a shootout, because how else is Chris going to lose this year?
Chris, I like your lineup this week.
Thanks,
like
buddy. You guys.
Starting off with the Stallion, the man at Miami, who sold off a pass rusher, looking to be completely tanking on the season, with that X factor being Dalton Kincaid with the stack there at your tight end spot. Had some really nice weeks and had some really poor weeks. So, again, X factor in the tight end spot. You love James Cook again at Miami. You love Devon Achan because they're going to be down and he's going to get 17 targets.
I love Devon Achan so much.
17 targets, I think. So quarterback, running back, tight end spot, solid. Wide receivers, you know, we got J-Mo in there right now. Talk about a boom or bust guy. Gets in the end zone, 16 points last week, 0 the week prior he played, 18 the week before that, 2, 5, 6, 18, you know what I mean? So in a matchup against the top dog, I like that play. You know, even if you weren't having to deal with any buys with anybody else or any injuries, I wouldn't hate throwing JMO in there. You're Mr. Consistent. Like, just, I don't, he beat me last week or 2 weeks ago. Fairlife.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you know Pittman on the year?
I'm going to guess he is wide receiver 8.
6.
Boom, baby.
Wow.
Wow. Indeed. I'm scrolling. I'm like, yeah, Michael Pittman's there. And then I clicked it. I was like, you know what? Oh, you know what? 6.
Cooking.
That's cooking. Crazy.
Only 2 weeks of single digits. Everything else double digits. Like, I got to change the way I view Michael Pittman when I'm reading this lineup. The flex, you like Kyren Williams. He's kind of Mr. Ho-hum, steady Eddie. The question mark this week is DeAndre Swift at risk for lower playing time, regardless of his injury status.
Where are you guys on that? Are you on Kyle Manunga just took the job and he's not giving it back? DeAndre Swift's crappy, or is it just going to kind of go back to what it was before the Swift injury?
I'm in the middle. I think it's going to be a 50-50 timeshare that Manungai could eat into more.
I think I'm in the middle as well. Maybe not quite 50-50, but somewhere closer to Manungai getting some more touches his way. But it was the Bengals defense that he just shredded. So like that, you have to take that with a grain of salt. But if DeAndre Swift cannot play, then we're looking on the bench for a flex spot. You're rolling DJ Moore potentially against the Giants. I mean, Alvin Kamara has been, you know, maybe a poor one out kind of guy, especially he with sure Tyler. Duck. You got it poor one out. He might be toast. He might be donezo.
Kind of thug.
So it's really DJ Moore or Parker Washington.
He was actually in my lineup for 20 minutes at one point over Jameson Williams.
He's getting targets. He's out there. A guy I like in Jacksonville, but, you know, they just get Jacoby Myers. You got to see what happens there. Some injury stuff going on there. So, like, maybe a couple question marks overall, but a lot of plus matchups. 3 Bills against the Dolphins, as well as the benefactor, Devon Achane, as a Dolphin against the Bills.
And on the Hayden side, we have some bye weeks to you know, have to navigate here. Some lineup decisions as well. The main one from a bye week perspective is Jake Ferguson. He's been a stalwart at the tight end position all year long for Hayden. He's going to be missed. And we got Patrick Mahomes, who is the QB1 on the year. So he's going to feel both of those as his lineup takes form in week 10. But you got a lot of the normal people as well. You have Bijan Robinson in Berlin, I believe, right? Germany?
It's, yeah, against the Colts.
That's the international game this week.
Nobody likes those.
No, I'm going to be in church, unfortunately. So that sucks, but anyway... So we got that game going, and then we also have, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs in the flex spot. We love to see that. Jalen Waddle's been coming on recently. Puka Nacua, questionable tag. I think we expect him to probably play. He's battling a rib injury, but I think he should be good. If he plays, of course, he is.
Take your time, Puka. Take your time, dude.
I mean, he's dominant. He's scored no less than 23 points outside of one time, and that was the game he got hurt. So he's pretty good. And then really, outside of that, not a whole lot else to highlight. Derrick Henry has been off and on. You'd like to see him get going a little more with Lamar Jackson back, and maybe that's the case. Maybe it starts this week. And Debo Samuel, I don't necessarily love in the flex spot just because of the injury to Jaden Daniels, and Marcus Mariota is just not Jaden Daniels. So not a lot of surprises here, but it's not Hayden's strongest lineup, even though he is projected for 150 points.
This is juicy. This is juicy here. Aaron, who you got in this game?
Man, I'm going to...
Because it's tough, because I feel like I have the advantage at quarterback, tight end.
Hands pounded on the table. This is Chris. I'm taking Chris easily this week. Love the matchups.
Easily.
All right.
Love the matchups. Don't love them for Hayden. Nakua may be out. And if I'm Hayden, like Aaron just said, I would take a long, hard look at RJ Harvey. Getting tutties, getting work through the air against the Raiders over maybe a Debo and Mariota, but
yeah, or even Etienne.
I'm staking my claim this week that Chris is taking the cake.
I think I'm going to go with Chris as well.
Oh no!
Yeah, I think the reason I'm going to take it is because of that Bills Miami game. Chris rolls as the Bills roll.
I'm going to take me to.
Yeah, don't like Derrick Henry at Minnesota. Like, it should be a close game, so they'll use him, but Minnesota's got a good rush defense. Yeah, just yeah.
I'm going to take me to. Yeah. I don't love it. But man, it would feel good to knock off the King. Oh man, we'd be so freaking back.
Yep.
And Hayden, I already caught you. I already said it earlier, but your last two games, 108 and 108, or excuse me, 103 and 108. I'm about to expose you, bro. I'm about to expose you. I'm coming for you. All right. Well, that's going to be a juicy game, just like the next one. It is Dawn and Njigba's in Paris coming into this one at 5-4. Taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth coming into this one at 6-3. As it currently states, Sleeper giving Anthony a 91% chance of victory. Yeah. Don, set your lineup. And it is not probably going to be a very fun experience for Don setting his lineup. We have Tony Pollard, Xavier Worthy, and George Pickens, Hollywood Brown, all on bye for Don. Xavier Worthy, George Pickens, and Tony Pollard usually in that starting lineup. And, of course, Tucker Kraft, unfortunately, landing on the IR. Not only is that a loss for Don's roster, but it's a loss for football. I put him in the same folder as Travis Hunter and Tyreek Hill and Malik Nabers and all of these fun guys that are just getting injured and taking away fun from football. Jaden Daniels, throw him in there too. Injuries suck, so we're going to have to pivot from him as well. And I kind of already did this exercise in my head, and I did not have a fun time. But to replace Tony Pollard, if you're Don, you're probably looking at Devin Neal or Justice Hill. That's gross. And then to replace both Xavier Worthy and George Pickens, you're looking at Xavier Leggett and Alec Pierce, which Alec Pierce isn't horrible. But Xavier Leggett, you don't love that. And in the tight end spot, it's time for Jonnu Smith to step up, baby. Because that's who we're going with. I don't even think I really have to say anything other than that. You just heard what I had to say, so there's no lineup decisions to be made there. I think Anthony walks this one easily.
Yeah, Anthony wins. I don't even think, do we need to go over Anthony's side?
Anthony's going to take this one. His only boo-hoo is that Travis Kelce's on a bye, so he's slotting A.J. Barner in off of waiver wires. He's had some good games and a lot of touchdowns this year. And Rico Dowdle's in the starting lineup.
I said it last week. The Carolina Panthers backfield is a linchpin for Anthony's roster, man. Like, yep. If one of them breaks out, Anthony, I think, skyrockets up the chances of winning the nut, and I think that happened. Like, you're going to have Rico Dowdle in there the rest of the year.
Ooh.
That's going to be nice. That's going to be nice. But we're all taking Anthony here, yeah?
Like clean sweeps for everybody so far?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is. Ooh. We could have it on the last game of the week, which makes it the game of the week, baby. We have Tim and Close But No Jamar coming off four straight L's, taking on Stretch and Walker, I hardly know her, coming off a tough loss, also at 4-5, both squads at 4-5. Obviously, I'm not going to put a winner go home on this one because both teams are too good. Both teams can make runs. But this is a big one. 5-5 looks a whole lot better than 4-6. So, Aaron, I'll throw it over to you first. How's Tim looking this week?
Tim's hurting a little bit.
Not great, Bob.
Oh, I forgot to say, as it currently stands, Sleeper giving Stretch a 65% chance of victory.
Not great.
Yeah, it's looking a little shaky up and down the board, but you get your Eagles back, so that helps a lot. You get Jalen Hurts, you get Saquon Barkley. Going to be a tough matchup on Monday Night Football at Green Bay. We'll see how they perform in that matchup. Aaron Jones against Baltimore has a questionable tag. Will they run on, you know, lean on him for the running game? I mean, they certainly gave him some opportunity last week against Detroit, and he did okay with it, 42% of snaps. You like to see that number north of 50, so maybe
8 yards a carry, though. Goodness gracious.
No, right, exactly. He did have good production, so you'd like to see that number go a little higher there, maybe get to the 15 to 20 touch range. We'll see if they allow that to happen. Juwan Jennings had a solid performance last week, so maybe he can continue that as a lot of injuries are still on the 49ers end of things. We'll see if Ricky Pearsall comes back anytime soon. Chris Godwin is just chilling in that lineup.
Let's
He's
go.
Just working. Prime time.
Currently in there.
Let's go.
He is
Chris
working.
Godwin podcast right here.
Will anyone be offended? Can I start Sam Laporta in a wide receiver spot?
You're all good. That's good by me.
I don't got a single wide receiver I want to play with. I don't.
Yeah, I think that would be huge if Chris Godwin could come back off the bye. Could really help elevate Tim's lineup this week. The next two players I really do enjoy a lot. Aronde Gadsden and Kyle Manungai. Both of them are looking pretty solid. Got them for basically nothing, and they are paying dividends there. The one guy that I look at and I'm just kind of like, is Tyrone Tracy. Don't love him, but he's going to get volume, and I guess that's what you're looking for at this point, because I really don't know who else you would play outside of him. I guess you could maybe think about Woody Marks, but he's been nothing special as of late. I mean, he did have 15 and 12 the past 2 out of 3 weeks. Denver's a tough defense, so maybe that's a decision there. But outside of that, that's what we're looking at with Tim.
And with Stretch, similar to some other people, I think you're getting a good mixture of folks not being on bye and also folks getting healthy. I would consider this to be maybe Stretch's strongest possible lineup he can put out with the current folks that he's got. We just traded for Jaylen Warren, but he's on the bench right now. Instead, we are going with a running back duo of Josh Jacobs and Ken Walker. Jacobs taking on a Philly defense. Ken Walker going at home against Arizona. Then we have Davante Adams, who is the worst thing to ever happen to Kyron Williams, if I may say so myself. The worst thing. They get on the 2-yard line. They just throw fades to Davante Adams every single time. Every time. It's automatic. His last 2 games, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, they found out that works. That's all they do. The Cortland Sutton there. Tyler Warren in that tight end position. We were hoping Garrett Wilson returns from injury this week to a trio of who's even on his team anymore. And Devontae Smith rounds out the flex spots. And, of course, we have Drake May in the quarterback spot. We only have his duo of young Titans receivers on bye this week, Io Manor and DK. And when it comes to lineup decisions, again, you have Jalen Warren sitting down there. We have Dallas Goedert at Green Bay. He is Mr. Consistent, but he is the tight end 6. And fantasy, Tyler Warren currently sitting at the tight end 3. So maybe you considered a double-decker tight end sacker there. Maybe. But other than that, I think Stretch's lineup is pretty set right now. I don't see him making a ton of changes. boy, do I not want to pick Stretch. Boy, do I not want to pick Stretch.
You have to.
I think I have to. I am also on the side that I think the Swift Manung guy split goes back to the way it was before Swift got injured. Swift's been playing really well. I don't think that despite Manung guy playing really well, that's enough to warrant Swift just like not getting any work. Like he's been playing pretty well. So I think it goes back to kind of what it was before the injury. So with that, I'm sorry, Tim. I love how you're pounding the table for me this week, but I'm going to pick Stretch. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'd be sorry this week.
Aaron, who you got?
I'm also going to take Stretch. I think he's just got too much on his end for Tim to be able to overcome. Although I do think that Stretch is probably going to bench Kenneth Walker for Jalen Warren. I'm going to bet on that.
All right. We will see.
It's a stretch for me, dog. It's painful having Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb on bye.
Yeah, you picked the best possible week to play Tim, Stretch, because of course you did. That's the most stretched thing in the world. And because of that, he's probably going to score 92 this week and win.
Yeah.
It's the most stretchy thing he could do. All right, that is a clean sweep for Stretch. And that was your week 10 preview. We could have a lot of heartbroken folks coming into the pod next week, but we will find that out when we get there. Let's go ahead and sign out because it's late. As always, if you don't mind, share us with your friends. Give us a good rating. Give us a good comment. Do whatever you got to do. But most importantly, smash the like button, baby.
Stomp on it.
Crush it.
Run it over. Rent a U-Haul and run it over.
Yeah, rent two U-Hauls and run it over with both of them. Just crush them.
Four U-Hauls and run it over with all four of them.
Fine. Okay, you win. Four U-Hauls. I can't beat that.
Just a simple click will do.
Or you could click it, gentlemen. It's late. We got the pod out on a Tuesday. Well, we did the pod on a Tuesday. Hopefully it gets out on a Wednesday. But we will see. Any last thoughts before we sign out of here?
Nope. I'm going to 2-8, baby. See you next year.
2-8. All right. All right, guys. Well, I am Chris. As always, genuinely appreciate you guys listening. Love you guys. Peace out.
Go on and get it.